Excellent. Thank you for leading us in our singing today. Scripture reading for this morning is Ephesians chapter 6, page 1823 in your pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read verses 1 to 4, and then our text is verse 4 today. Ephesians chapter 6, page 1823 in your pew Bible. I'll read the passage. I'll say this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation responds saying, "Thanks be to God." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And this is our text for this morning. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear fathers, dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if there's any institution in society today that's being threatened, it's probably the institution of the family. What do you think? Today, the very definition of the family is questioned. It's a troublesome world out there. The norms for family life, as presented in the Bible, no longer hold sway in our society and in our culture. And the erosion of the family, it's also happening inside the church as well. Christians are not isolated from the world. No, as Christians, we live in the world, as we ought. But sometimes, without our thinking, the ways of the world influence us in ways we don't even realize. Oh, maybe we don't have anybody at Calvin Christian Reformed Church advocating same-sex marriage or something, but the erosion of the family happens nonetheless, often in very subtle and yet profound ways. It happens when the different parties within a family, so we're talking moms and dads and children here, it happens when the different parties within the family relationship no longer perform the responsibilities that are given them. God gives moms certain responsibilities. God gives dads certain responsibilities. God gives children certain responsibilities. When everyone does their God-given part, well, then we have a happy, functional family unit. But you see, that's our problem today. Even inside the church, not everyone is doing what the Lord is asking of them. Today is Father's Day, and so today it is a good idea to see what responsibilities fathers have within the family. It is good to see what responsibilities fathers have towards their children. And the text I've chosen for this is Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Congregation, the first thing I want to note about our text is that it addresses dads. It addresses the fathers. I want to say this is noteworthy. I mean, in the preceding verses, Paul, he addresses the children, right? He tells them of their responsibilities. And when he addresses the children, he tells them of the responsibilities to their parents, plural, fathers and mothers. Says Paul, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. But when we move on to verse 6, our text for today, you would think that when Paul addresses the parents and their roles, he would address both fathers and mothers. But he doesn't do that. In our text, he only addresses the fathers. Really, he doesn't address the mothers at all. Why is that? Well, we really can't be sure. Is it because fathers in those days really had a tendency to abdicate their parental responsibilities and thus had to be explicitly told their responsibilities? I don't know. I find it noteworthy, though, what Paul says to fathers in our text. He says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." Apparently, that must have been a problem with dads in those days. Fathers had a tendency to exasperate their children. What does it actually mean, anyways? To exasperate means to make angry. That's basically all it means. I don't know why the NIV uses that word, exasperate, but be as it may, that's what it means. Apparently, in those days, fathers had a tendency to make their children angry, to tick them off unnecessarily. Paul is basically saying, fathers, don't do that. That's not healthy. That's not good. Now, congregation, I find it noteworthy that what Paul tells the fathers back then, not to exasperate, not to make their children angry, that's a good piece of advice, not only for back then, but it could stand to be heeded also today. It seems to me that maybe this is a tendency fathers also seem to struggle with today. We can be very quick to make our children mad at us. Why is that? Is that a cultural thing? Is that maybe part of our nature? Is this a nature-nurture thing? I don't know. But certainly it can be done in a number of different ways. It can be done by showing favoritism. Jacob showed favoritism to Joseph. Jacob even gave Joseph that beautiful coat of many colors, and that caused a lot of anger and resentment for the rest of the family. It needs no further comment. Fathers can exasperate their children by constantly giving them negative criticism to them instead of building them up and giving them positive, constructive criticism. Continual impatience, that too can cause resentment. Actually, you know what can cause the long-lasting anger? It's basic, simple neglect. Avoidance. Not seeing them. Some dads may say, hey, I don't embitter my children because I'm never around to make them angry. Well, believe you me, that is probably one of the leading causes today of kids showing no respect and honor to their parents, especially their fathers. They're simply not around. Children need to see their fathers. No doubt, it is not easy being a father. Fatherhood requires time. And who's got a lot of that? After a busy day of doing things that are very important, like making sure there's food on the supper table every day, who wants to come home to settle a dispute between a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old over who gets the blue chair with the picture of the bunny on it and who gets the red chair with the teddy bear on it? I remember having to settle disputes like that when I got home from work. I would get home back in the day and Marianne would say, "You go and fix that." So I'd go over to the kids, and there they are crying, "I want the blue chair. No, I want the blue chair." And I can just feel the blood pressure, you know, building up there in your neck. And I see myself taking those two chairs and chucking them out the window. And then saying, "See? Did that make you happy?" Not exactly the best parental response. It's clearly the wrong fatherly response. It's true, we must be patient with our children. We must not exasperate them. Yes, what we need to do is we need to talk to our kids. We need to hear their stories. We need to listen to their concerns. And not only the little ones, but also the growing kids, the teenagers, about things that are important to them. Because not being part of the lies, that's what brings friction. It brings resentment. It brings anger. In 2018, on this Father's Day, the wording of Ephesians 6, verse 4, is still applicable. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. You know, we look at our text, we see what Paul first addresses, what fathers should not do. We must not exasperate our children. But then from there, our text moves on to talk about what we should do. And what, according to our text, is the first and greatest responsibility we have towards our children? What is that? It is to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's right. That's the first calling. Understand, making children into responsible citizens of the kingdom of God is not, first of all, the church's job, or the school's job, or the Sunday school's job. It's not even, first of all, the responsibility of our moms. Some will want to say, telling Bible stories and stuff, that's the mother's role. Nonsense. It's especially the father's role. And I'm not making this up. This is clearly in the text. This is the command of our text. In that regard, notice how Paul actually sets up Ephesians 6, verse 4. Training and instruction in the Lord is considered the opposite of provoking children to anger. It's almost as if it's the antidote. It is the solution to resolve anger that might be in our children. Fathers, writes Paul in our text, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so that's our responsibilities, dads. Of course it is. For us who have brought children forward to be baptized, we promised before God and before the congregation that we would do that with our wives. In our text, Paul says, we fathers especially have to bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Training and instruction. What does that all imply? Well, I'm intrigued by what one commentator says. One commentator says that training has to do with shaping the will of our children. We train, we shape the will so that our kids don't follow what they want, but what God wants. We shape the will to that. We shape the will so that our kids learn to make good decisions and good choices. Instruction, that especially has to do with shaping the mind. Putting the right stuff in there so that we think in more biblical and godly ways. And so we shape the will as well as the mind. Actually, it's noteworthy that in the Greek, both words, both training and instruction, they include the concept of discipline as well. Training and instruction involves discipline, actually. Now, some might think that discipline will exasperate our children, but not necessarily. When things are done properly, lovingly, then discipline is also very okay. And so we bring up our children in the training and in the instruction of the Lord. This last line is also very, very important. It's the most important. The goal of training and instruction is that our children know the Lord, that they know the Lord here in our hearts, so that he's real and that he's close by grace. Dads, this is what we have to be leaders in. This is our first responsibility. Our first. And so our kids need to hear about Jesus from us as dads. They need to hear from us why Jesus is important to us and what he did for you and how he saved you from your sin. And this kind of stuff our kids can only be trained in and instructed in when it's modeled in us as well. Important stuff here, isn't there? Now, I'm not asking you to look at me as the prime example of a wonderful good father. Oh, no, you ask my kids, and I'm sure they can point out a weakness here or there or two. No, we all sin. We all need to repent. And we all need to change. All of us do. And we all need help, right? Everyone does. No, there is no father around here we can all call on for perfect help. But I know a father we can call on, and he's up above. Praise God for our heavenly Father. Oh, how great a Father we have up in heaven above. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. He never, ever ignores us. He is always with us. He poured out His Spirit. He gave us His own Son to wipe away, to wash away all of our sin if we come to Him. More, he gives presents, including this one right up here, communion. As we give signs of our love to our children, so does our Heavenly Father give His signs to us. And so today, we dine with our God and Father. We confess that we are sinners, we all make mistakes, and we come because we need His grace. Fathers do, mothers do, all God's people do. Committing ourselves to run from sin and to live for His service, our Father, He blesses us. He strengthens our families. He strengthens them so that as fathers, mothers, and children, we can be a witness to our world, a world that desperately needs the Word of God and the Gospel. May we all do our part, relying on God's grace. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that on this Father's Day we may consider the responsibilities that You've given to us as dads. We pray, Father, that we may not exasperate our children. Forgive us when we do that. Give us grace to change our ways. And we pray, Father, that as dads we may also train and instruct our children in the Lord so that they might know the Lord. Give us much wisdom in that regard too, Father. Give us courage. We pray, Father, that we may joyfully model it as well so that our children see Christ living in us. Father, we need Your grace. So we thank You for the opportunity to gather around the Lord's table that we may be encouraged in this as well. So bless us to that end, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.